So I want to speak about surrender today. Imagine you're blind and you come to, you're come out in the street and your friend walks along beside you and says, "Here, let me take your hand. I'm going to guide you across this street." And you're like, "It's a yard. It's not a street." And you're like, "No, I can see everything. I can see the truck over here that's coming 80 miles per hour and the car over here." And you can't see those things, but your friend can. And I think we'd all agree that it would be really ridiculous to just refuse their help and be like, "I can do this on my own. Just, you know, leave me alone. I can do this by myself." And so many times that's what we do to God. We can't quite trust Him with our lives, when the truth is, He doesn't even have the same limitations as our friend does. He can see further than the truck to the right, and He can see your future. He can see what you're going to face tomorrow and who you're going to meet. Nothing's hid from Him, and He knows what'll make you happy. He knows all about you, and ultimately, He knows what He needs to bring into your life to make you what He wants to make you. He knows what He needs to bring to make you holy and usable for Him. Psalms 37, 4 through 7. Says, "Delight thyself also in the Lord, and He shall give thee the desires of thine heart. Commit thy way unto the Lord, trust also in Him, and He shall bring it to pass. And He shall bring forth thy righteousness as the light, and thy judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for Him." And Proverbs 3, 5 through 6. "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord, and depart from evil." So often we want to trust our own understanding. We think we know better than God. It's easier to trust ourselves because we can't see God, and we think we can handle our lives. We think we can control our own lives. And He promises in that verse that He will direct our paths. He'll show us where to go and what to do if we let Him. And when we think about it, it makes a lot more sense to let God control our lives anyways, because that's the best way for you to be in control of your life, is for God to be in control of your life. Last year, some of my friends, Ben and Esther, some of you probably know them, they made the decision to move to Florida. And it was kind of a restless time of my life, and I wanted to go somewhere, I wanted to do something. And I was like, "Hey, here's a great opportunity to go with them, you know?" And I mean, because they came back from Florida, and they told me about the church there, where they would be, and the church they found had a lot of kids' ministries, and they needed people to come and help, and I was like, "I like kids' ministries. I like working with kids." And, you know, I wouldn't be going out there by myself. I'd even be with friends, and it just looked like a completely open opportunity for me. And so I started praying about it. And I was afraid to just go if I didn't know what God's will was. And I started to think, you know, maybe it was, just because it was so strong on my heart. And it looked so perfect. And so I started to kind of just plan towards it, you know. And of course I left it open, if God didn't want me to go. And I guess the closer it got, I think it was in March, all of a sudden it started to hit me that if I really was going to go, it was going to like change my entire life. And all of a sudden I wasn't quite sure if I wanted my entire life to change. And I wasn't quite sure if I wanted to leave my friends and move to a strange place, get a new job, go to a new church. And I mean, it wasn't just like a missionary trip or something. It would be all my life. And so I started to struggle with just not really wanting to go. And then the next week I would be like, what if I miss something? If I don't go to Florida, what if there's something really special there, something amazing, and I'll miss out? Like God would let you miss out on something. If he has something for your life, he can bring it right where you're at. But all of a sudden, I didn't know what I wanted to do because I had a battle on both sides. And it kind of went back and forth for about 3 months, actually. And part of me just wanted something new and different. I wanted to run away. And I knew that wasn't a good reason to go. But the other part of me wanted to go because of the ministry. And I didn't know which of me was stronger. Like, which was my real reasons. And I started to doubt what, you know, my real reasons for wanting to stay and my reasons for wanting to go, and not sure if they were right. And I was like, God, you kind of have to hurry up and give me an answer because I'm running out of time. Because, well, some of you might know, they just left this morning for Florida. And I was like, it was May, and I didn't have a clue. I was clueless. And my roommate was starting to say, you know, I need to get another roommate if you're going to go. Do you have an answer yet? And I'm like, no. I'm like, can you stop? And it started to leak out to my other friends. Like, I told a few friends, but it started to get around, and people started coming to me. So I heard you're moving to Florida. And I'm like, well, that's not exactly what I said. I'm thinking about it. And I didn't want to tell anybody, yes, I'm going to, because I just didn't feel that I could quite say that, because I didn't really know. But I felt really pressured to give an answer. I would be quitting my job. They would have to hire somebody. And so I'm like, you know, these are all good reasons, God, for you to hurry up. And, you know, the hardest part was realizing that I didn't just have to surrender to God's will. I had to surrender to not knowing what God's will was. And it would have almost been easier to just, you know, if God told me, go to Florida, I could say, okay, I'll deal with the things I have to leave behind. I'll surrender them to God, and I'll get through it, and I'll go to Florida. Well, when it was on both sides, then I had to surrender on both sides. And I had to be like, okay, if I'm, I'm not going to know the answer until I get to the end of this battle. I started realizing that God's not going to give me an answer until I'm willing to do whichever one He wants me to do without knowing which one He wants me to do. And I knew, obviously, I couldn't have both of them, and I kind of wanted both of them, too. But I knew that I had to give up both of them. And with all my friends asking and stuff, I finally just started telling people. I said, I don't know. I'm not going to give you an answer. I told my roommate that. I'm like, I'm not giving you an answer right now. You're going to have to wait, too, because I have to wait. So if I have to wait on God, you know, I can't make something up for you. And, you know, I'm always amazed at the patience that God has with us. You know, he's like, it's almost like He could take all your life if you wanted to. You know, if you want to wait that long, He's going to work that long. And he's gentle, but He puts the pressure on. And finally, it was the middle of May. I was getting closer, and I was working through it with the help of some of my friends. And I was yielding things. I was more things that would come up. I would be like, okay, I can give that up. And finally, I came to a place I'm like, you know what, I don't care anymore. I don't care which I do. Just tell me what to do. Because I'll go wherever you want me to go. And if you want me to stay, I'll stay. And it was like, I suddenly felt like I was back to square one. I didn't have an answer at all. Like, I thought I'd work towards an answer, but all of a sudden, it's in the middle of May, and I didn't have an answer, but I felt completely okay with not having an answer. I felt at peace with it, and a lot of times it's the unknown, the fear of the unknown, that makes us not surrender things to God, because we don't know what He's going to do. And if we surrender, He might do something we don't like. And also, at that time, God brought me to the end of my just restlessness. I was like, you know, I don't feel like I need to just go here, go do something, whatever. And then God gave me an answer. And it was actually not an answer I was looking for. It was totally simple. And it was an answer that one of my friends actually gave me way back in February. It was like, you know, why don't you just wait until Ben and Esther get there, move in, and sometime go down and visit them. You know, see what it's like. See if you know, try the ministry on for size, basically. See what it's like. See if when you get down there, you know, God leads you from there on. And all of a sudden it hit me. I'm like, why don't I wait till Ben and Esther go down there? And why do I think that I have to get an answer by June or I'm going to miss this opportunity? Florida's going to be waiting if if God takes me there 2 months from now, 3 months from now. And I was like, wow. I was just like, I felt like a huge burden went off. I was like, I don't have to rush. I don't have to make a decision. I don't have to make up God's mind. I can relax, and when God provides a time to go and see them, I can go. And if I don't feel like that's where He wants me, I can come back. I won't have lost my job. I won't have lost my house. And it was so simple. I couldn't believe I'd been fighting so hard and so long about it. But I realized in the end, I was like, you know, I think God brought the whole Florida thing into my life to show me the things that I was holding on to. If for no other purpose, it was to show me the areas that I needed to surrender, the fact that I needed to surrender no matter where he wanted to take me, even if it wasn't Florida, anywhere he wanted to take me, was I really willing to go? I always told God I'd go anywhere. But when it comes down to the actual reality of it, it's like, oh, wait, I don't know if I can handle that. I don't know if you can do something through that. And, you know, God was just asking me to rest in him and wait patiently for him. And like I think Angie said yesterday, God's never late. He's not going to, like, get you there late. He's not, the fun isn't going to be gone before you get there. And the longer you hold out, the longer God waits. The longer he has to work on you, and he's very patient. He'll wait. He wants us to be flexible and movable and moldable. It's like the potter, that he's the potter and we're like the clay, and he wants to be able to move us to every time we jump off the table and every time we resist him, just get back up on, and it takes longer. He has to work us again and make us pliable. 1 Peter 5, 6 through 7. If I can find 1 Peter. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your cares upon him, for he careth for you. The Bible says that God, that it's our job. It's our job to surrender to God, and he is going to do the work in our hearts. He's going to make us willing, but we have to give him our hearts. We have to let him do that work. And it says that God, it's God that works in us both to will and to do of his good pleasure. He's the one that changes our hearts, and we can do nothing in ourselves. As we yield more and more to him, he's able to make something beautiful out of our lives. And, you know, even though we can't see it now, it's going to be way better than we really can imagine. Like, we can see the things around us, and we think we know the way God should do something. We think we know how he should, where he should take our lives, and we want to give him instructions on what to do with our lives. And the fact is, he knows what you're going to be like a year from now. He knows the work that he's going to do in your life, and he knows the yieldedness, the point to which you're going to yield to him. And, for example, a man. He can have the perfect man somewhere completely different than you might think he is. And you might think you know what looks best, but he knows in the end what's going to make you the happiest. And you have to trust that. You have to believe that he knows what's going to be best for you. David in the Bible was a really good example of surrendering to God's timing. You know, he ran around for years trying to stay away from Saul. There were two times he could have killed Saul, and he didn't. He always said, God's going to avenge me. God's not going to let him get away with this. And he had to leave his best friend. He had a wife. And he had to go on the run, and he was supposed to be the king. His life was supposed to be going a certain way, and it didn't look like God had control of it at all. God was letting Saul stay there, and David knew that God had made him this promise because God had anointed him king. And through all the Psalms, you can see so many times he just trusted God. He knew that God would bring it to pass. He knew that God would work through his life and bring his promises to pass. God's thoughts are so far above our thoughts, and his ways are above our ways. And he asks us to trust him and trust that he knows. You know, sometimes it's even something we think we're doing for God. We're like, you know, I have this big plan. I'm wanting to reach out this way for you, you know. But the point is, are we willing to even change those plans that we so carefully have laid out and we have our life in order? Are we even willing to change the plans that are for God? For God. If we're not, God can't use us. He wants to use us, but he has to make us usable first. And that means he has to work in our lives until we surrender. And then we can go in his strength. And it's not on our own. He can use us to reach people, to reach kids. He can use us that way, in whatever way he wants. If we let him first do the work and decide where we go. And sometimes it hurts a lot. Because God, like I said before, God knows what it's going to take to get you to the point, that point. And sometimes it does hurt. And God's not there wanting it to hurt. He doesn't want to hurt you. But when we resist him, he has to press on us and work on us till we're pliable again. And we wonder, why am I not getting victory over sin? You know, why am I in pain? Why is God not taking this away from me? And we try to get victory over our own sin, and the fact is we simply cannot fix ourselves. That's why God does the work. We surrender, and God does the work. And we often try to deal with our own pain, like asking God to help us, but not really wanting his help. It's kind of like a little kid that got a gash in his head or something, and he's screaming, jumping up and down, and he won't let you put anything on it because he doesn't want you to touch it. But yet, in the end, if you put it on, it's going to soothe it and it's going to heal it. But he's not thinking about that. He's thinking about the pain of you touching it in the first place. And that's how we are with God. We're like, I want your help, but I don't want your help the way you want to give me your help. I want you to take my pain, but I don't want to give anything back to you. And that's not the way it works. We have to remember he is our Father, and he's trying to pull us closer to himself. He doesn't bring pain to push us away and make us mistrust us, trust him. He brings that pain so that we find out that he is the only one that can heal it. Maybe there's some of you in here that have never given your life to God. Maybe you think you did, and you just don't really want to let him work through you. You don't really want to give him everything. You think that you can live for him half the time. You know, you can live for him when you're at church or with your friends, but you don't really want to go the whole way with God. Well, I have news for you. Unless you are completely sick of yourself and sick of your sin, there's no way you can go through with God the whole way. And until you get to that point, God's going to keep working, and God's going to bring that pain. He's not going to just ease up on it because you're crying. Sorry. He's bringing that pain. He wants you to get through it as quickly as possible. It's up to you. It's up to you how long that pain continues. And there are times, you know, even when you are saved, even when you feel like your life is surrendered, there's always something more that God can do in your life. There's always something more that other places, higher and higher, He can take you. And so when you do get saved, it's not like all of a sudden, you know, that surrender's over. Because you're going to have to surrender for the rest of your life. And there's a lot of promises that God gives us in the Bible about what He's going to do for us if we love Him. What He's going to do for us if we give Him everything. And, like, all things work together for good to those that love God, who are called according to His purpose. But in order for all those things to work together, we have to be called according to His purpose. We have to let Him have His purpose in our life. And there are things He's going to ask from you when you're saved, after you're saved. It's not like that's the end. He's going to ask more from you. He's going to ask you to let go of things. And that's hard. It's hard to let go of the things that have been your life. And friends. But ultimately, He's not worried about keeping you comfortable for the rest of your life. His purpose is to make you holy and to make you usable for Him. His purpose is to be able to take you and use you to bring other people to Himself. That's why He created us. That's why He created us for His purpose. And the thing is, He's our Creator. And can we say to Him, why did you do this in my life? Why did you take me here? Why did you make me this way? He has a right, doesn't He? He's God. He created us. And, you know, when I was little, I always thought of it kind of like Legos. I think it's because we've played with Legos a lot. And when I was making things with Legos, I would think about it. I'd be like, this is a lot like God, you know? I make this Lego, and if it jumped up and started hitting me, I'd be like, excuse me, do you want me to take you apart again? You know, I made you. You owe me everything. And that's the way it is with God. We owe Him everything because He created us, and He sent His Son to die on the cross so that we can go to heaven. And so we do owe Him everything. And I'd just like to finish with singing I Surrender All, if that's in the book. Is it? Okay.